You notice there's a theme in this service, and the theme is joy. But it's not just joy, it's joy in the midst of suffering. Joy when things are not going well. How can we find joy when the world is falling apart around us? How can we find joy when we're ill? When our body has deteriorated, how can we find joy in the midst of suffering? Linda read several passages for us, but these are the words of Jesus. Blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, when they say false things about you for my sake. Rejoice and be glad. Now, how in the world can we do that? Well, I'm going to need some help. And so I'm going to turn to my YES team. These are the Youth Exploratory Scholars. And they've been hard at work on some questions that I've given to them. Who's going to answer the first question? Okay, Harrison. How many times in the book of Philippians do the words joy or rejoice appear? So six times and eight times, that's 14 times. You did a great job researching that. And actually, if you have references to joy, 19 times in the book of Philippians, Paul talks about joy. That's absolutely amazing. Now, this is Philippians, folks, is a short book. You might have trouble finding it. It's only four chapters. And it's a letter that Paul wrote. But there are more references to joy in the letter of Philippians than any other book in the Bible. So I guess that means Paul was having a good day. I mean, Paul was happy, happy, happy. That maybe he was singing zippity-doo-dah. Maybe he was at the happiest place on earth. Oh, by the way, who's going to answer the first part of the second question? Second question has two parts. Who can tell me, Ethan, can you tell me where Paul was when he wrote this? Well, actually the word is the praetorium. But you know what? It's part of the palace, but he wasn't in Cinderella's palace. He was in the dungeon. He was in prison. Can you believe that? Paul was in prison. He not only was in prison, but he knew that he probably wouldn't survive. So the second part of that second question is, what is the result of him being there? I mean, he's in prison. He knows he's probably not going to make it out alive. Did anybody find out what happened to him as a result of that? This is what he said. He said, even though I'm in prison, this has been a good thing because I've had opportunities to share the good news about Jesus. The Apostle Paul, the letter of Philippians, he knows that he's probably not going to survive prison, and he doesn't. Now let's turn to somebody else. Up until a few months ago, most of us had never heard the name Kayla Mueller. Did anybody find out about Kayla, Austin? Tell me who Kayla was. A human rights activist. Did you find out anything more about her? Okay, she was captured by ISIS. Now, Kayla Mueller, a young lady from Prescott, Arizona. She grew up like a lot of you, like a lot of you young people. She grew up in church. She was involved in mission projects and service projects. Her family was involved in service. In fact, her father is a member of the Prescott Kiwanis Club. 2 years ago, in May of 2013, Kayla came home, and she spoke to the Kiwanis Club. It was the last time she spoke publicly before she was captured. And this is what she said. She told them about working. Did anybody find out where she was when she was captured? Well, yeah, in Syria. She was in Syria when she was captured. You say, well, what in the world is a young girl doing over there? She was over there because of the crisis in Syria when so many children were being displaced because of the bombs, because of the turmoil, because of ISIS. Children are being separated from their families. And she talked about working with these children. She talked about asking the children to draw pictures. And you know what they would draw? They would draw pictures of their home. They would say, this is a swing. My daddy put this swing up in the front yard. Or this is the door to our house. It's a squeaky door. And as soon as we get back home, my daddy's going to fix the door. There are thousands and thousands of children who have been displaced by the violence. But I want to read to you exactly what she said to the Kiwanis Club. She said, Syrians are dying by the thousands, and they're fighting just to talk about the rights that we have and take for granted. I guess those guys in the Kiwanis Club were wondering why in the world would she go back to Syria. This is what she said. As long as I live, I will not let this suffering be normal. Just something that we must accept. It's something to stop and realize what we have, why we have it, how privileged we are, and from that place we start caring about other people and we can get a lot done. Did you find out what happened to Kayla? She was a prisoner of ISIS. And a few months ago, we heard that she was killed. Let me ask you to look up one more person. Did anybody look up Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Anybody find out who Bonhoeffer? Somebody, Ethan, anybody who hasn't answered yet? Okay, Ethan, you tell me. He was a preacher. That word is a theologian, somebody who studies theology, who learns about God. He was a German theologian. He was a pastor. He was also in prison. Did anybody find out why he was in prison? Anybody else? Do you know who arrested him? Did you find out, Ethan, who arrested him? He was in prison in the Second World War. He was in a concentration camp. He was arrested by the Nazis. Anybody found out how he died? Okay, Courtney. He was executed. He was hanged by the Nazis. Thank you so much. And he also, the thing you need to know about Bonhoeffer is, one of the last acts that Adolf Hitler did before his cowardly suicide was to sign the execution order for Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Paul said in Philippians 1, it has been granted to us that we not only believe in Jesus, but what else? Anybody else? What else, Courtney? To suffer. It has been granted to us that we not only believe in Jesus, but that we suffer for his sake. Thanks, I'll be back in a few minutes. So we have three people. We have the Apostle Paul, we have Kayla Mueller, and we have Dietrich Bonhoeffer. They all three have this in common. They're dedicated Christians who live out their faith. They are arrested and thrown into prison because of their faith. Remarkably, we have letters that all three of these individuals wrote from prison. And when you compare what they say, we come up with a pattern that tells us how we can rejoice, where we can find joy in the midst of suffering. And here it is. Number one, we believe that all things come from God, even suffering. All things come from God, even suffering. Courtney just told us about the verse in Philippians that said it's been granted to us that we not only believe, but also suffer. Paul wrote that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and that I may share in his sufferings. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in a letter that he wrote when he was in prison, he wrote to his beloved fiancée, Maria. And this is what he said. These words are absolutely amazing. He wrote, "You must know there's not even an atom of reproach or bitterness in me about what has befallen the two of us. Such things come from God and from God alone. And I know that if I am one with you in believing that before him there can only be subjection, perseverance, patience, and gratitude." And this is what Kayla Mueller wrote. She was able to smuggle a letter to her mom and dad out of prison before she died. And it's a powerful letter from this 25-year-old girl. She wrote, "I remember Mom always telling me that all in all, in the end, the only one you really have is God. And I have come to a place in experience where in every sense of the word, I have surrendered myself to my Creator because there's no one else. And by God and by your prayers, I have felt tenderly cradled in the free fall. All things, even sickness, even suffering, all things come from God. And we believe that God is good all the time." The second thing is this: find a reason to be thankful every day. One of the remarkable things to me in reading these letters is that these individuals who knew that they probably would not survive found a reason to be thankful. The Apostle Paul begins the letter of Philippians by saying, "I'm so thankful for the partnership that I have with you in the gospel." Now he's writing to his favorite people, to the church at Philippi, at Philippi. And toward the end of his letter, he acknowledges that there is a young man by the name of Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus has come from all the way from Philippi to Rome with a care package. We don't know what it was, but Paul said, "It is a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." I'm sure that it probably just little things, maybe some brownies, maybe just things to let him know that people cared about him. And in the little things, he was thankful. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, another prisoner, observed, "Never cease to overflow with gratitude towards the Lord. Even facing the possibility of death, he regarded every day as a precious gift from God. And he lived that day to the fullest." And Kayla wrote, "I have come to see that there is good in every situation." And she went on to tell her mom and dad that the one thing she was thankful for was the dreams that she had at night. Because when she went to sleep, she would dream about being home and being with her family. And this is what she wrote in her letter: "My heart longs to be with all of you. I've never felt before, but praise be to God, you are in my dreams almost every evening. And for those brief moments in my sleeping conscious, we are together and I am given a warmth. It's a warmth that makes me wake up and smile. Warm enough to keep me company through the day and warm enough to keep my heart near to home." And then she quoted Mark 12, 28 and 30. "The first of all the commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, And you shall love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. The second thing, find a reason to be thankful every day. And the third thing, focus on the importance of family and community. That's what Paul was doing. He wrote him and said, I'm so thankful for you. You are my partners in the gospel. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you, because I know that you're praying for me and you have supported me from the very beginning. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And you see, the reason that Bonhoeffer was arrested was he dared to stand up to the Nazis and Adolf Hitler, because he saw what they were doing. They manipulated the church. It's a lesson on what happens when we don't practice separation of church and state. They manipulated the church, and Bonhoeffer had the courage to stand up and say, this is not right. He started a movement called the Confessing Church. He started a seminary. And as a result of that experience, he wrote a book called Life Together. And it's one of the great Christian classics. Every believer should read Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. In this book, he talks about what it means to be a Christian and to be in fellowship with other Christians. He talks about the fact that we are a gift to each other, that we are fellow believers, part of a community, part of the family of faith, and he said, we are our brother's keepers. Kayla said this to her family, the gift that is each of you, the person that I could and could not be if you were not a part of my life, my family, my support. So the third thing is focus on family and community. And the final thing is this. All three of these individuals knew that they were facing death, but knew that death was not the final answer. That death was not the worst thing that could happen to them. In fact, Paul, you remember in Philippians, Paul says, well, I'm in this situation. You know, it doesn't look like I'm going to get out of here. So I'm going to die, and that's good news because I'm going to be home with Jesus. And, well, if I live, that's good news because I'm going to be able to share the gospel. So Paul said, it's a win-win situation for me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Kayla wrote this. She said, do not fear for me, but continue to pray as I will, that by God's will be together soon. Now, of course, that could be interpreted two ways. We will be together soon. Death is only temporary. And then there was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a man who died with such courage and such grace. As Adolf Hitler signed that execution order, and they came and they got Pastor Bonhoeffer, he knelt on the floor and he prayed fervently to God. There was a German physician who witnessed his execution, and he said, I have never seen a man die so eternally submissive to the will of God in my 50 years that I worked as a doctor. I was deeply moved by the way that this unusually lovable man prayed, so devout, so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he said a short prayer, and then he climbed to the steps of the gallows. Bonhoeffer wrote these words, I believe that God can and he wants to create good out of everything, even evil. I believe that God provides us with as much strength to resist as we need, but he doesn't give it to us in advance. We must trust him and him alone. In such a trust, all anxiety about the future must be overcome. So let me turn back to my scholars now, and let me ask you, what are the four things we've learned from these three individuals about how we can find joy in suffering? What was the first one? All things come from God. Thanks, Ethan. What was the second one? Jillian said, find a reason to be thankful every day, even when things are not going well. Thank you. Number three. Tori said, focus on the importance of family and the community. And then there's one more. What type of, they knew that they were going to die, but what did they, how did they feel about death? It was not the final answer. They were not afraid. And so you see, regardless of where we are in life, we can rejoice. We can rejoice because God is blessing us, because God is giving us strength and the assurance and the hope of life everlasting. God is good all the time. Let us rejoice and be glad.